The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hello, Rolene Marks.
Hello, Kathy Taylor, Simon Anstey, Zanati, everybody.
What have you been eating, drinking, Rolene? Tell us what's happening in Israel.
I had 3 coffees today instead of my usual
and it
2.
Shows, but, it shows.
Other than that, all good.
All right.
So I have to report on a story that's not in the on the agenda today that broke this afternoon, which is quite stunning, and that is that Dubai is going to open its doors to Israeli tourists next year. They are hosting the 2020 World Expo. This is a 6-month-long expo that promotes tourism, promotes industry, promotes innovation, and they say that anybody who has an Israeli passport will be welcome. And even more than that, they say that they hope that even long past this expo, that Israelis will make Dubai a great destination. You know, my concern, if there's a Primark in Dubai, they may never get rid of Israeli tourists.
But that is absolutely remarkable, Rolene. I mean, that is indicative of something is changing.
I think something is changing. You know, they're very attracted by Israeli know-how, Israeli innovation, and a senior but unnamed official in the UAE's Ministry of Tourism said, I believe Israelis will come to visit even after the expo. Even now we have a few Israelis visiting us, and we will be happy to accommodate all Israeli tourists. And just a reminder to listeners, we don't have formal bilateral ties with Dubai, but Israelis have foreign passports are allowed into the Emirate, and this is quite significant. So I think that the winds of change, albeit maybe a little bit slow, but are starting to blow through the region.
Yeah, kind of related to that is the story that you did want to speak about Israel releasing 2 Jordanian citizens. That comes against a backdrop, Rolino, of really very cold ties between Israel and Jordan. I mean, that peace treaty is kind of teetering, is it not?
Well, we had a concern just a couple of weeks ago that we could possibly see the treaty come to an end, but I don't think it's in the best interest of the region or other states for this treaty to lapse. But Israel released just today 2 Jordanians that had been detained for more than a month. They are Hiba al-Labadi. She's a Jordanian citizen of Palestinian descent, or a Palestinian of Jordanian descent, and she was arrested as well as another unnamed Jordanian citizen, but they have been released today, and this we hope will kind of alleviate tension between the two countries.
Interesting, because my take on it is, whereas the political elites seem to understand and value the peace treaty, it seems to me that the Israelis have lost the Jordanians somewhere along the road. There seems to be tremendous anger, aimed towards Israel on the Jordanian street.
And we saw it with the lead up to the elections, and the Jordanians said they possibly would not be renewing a piece of land that was leased to Israel for 25 years. This is still under discussion, although they have renewed some parts of that, and also concerns with some of the statements from Prime Minister Netanyahu. And here we have to separate Netanyahu, the campaigner, from Netanyahu, the politician, or Netanyahu, the prime minister, where he says should he have won the election, he would annex parts of these territories.
Okay, then let's move on to coalition building. Gantz apparently accusing Netanyahu of refusing all compromises. Yeah, what's the story?
I tell you, we're 10 steps forward, 23 steps backwards. But as we speak, we do have negotiators from both parties who are meeting. They're meeting for a third time to try and push through the deadlock. You know, Prime Minister-designate Gantz only has 2 more weeks to fulfill the mandate. Otherwise, we are going to come very, very perilously close to a third set of elections. So they are meeting at the moment, but on Twitter, Gantz tweeted earlier today that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not prepared to compromise on certain issues, which is contributing to the deadlock. Some of these issues are issues of his immunity or possible immunity, issues pertaining to the right-wing bloc. We also heard from Hayemini Hachadash, Naftali Bennett, or the New Rights Naftali Bennett, who in a podcast earlier today said that we are very, very close to a third election if this deadlock cannot be broken. He blames Yisrael Biteinu leader Avigdor Lieberman. He says, you know, that Avigdor Lieberman's reluctance to maybe join with a right-wing bloc or sit with the ultra-Orthodox, this is contributing to the deadlock. And he, Naftali Bennett, is prepared to sacrifice his place in order that we have a government formed. So, again, we have this never-ending tango and a lot of concern coming from Kahol V'Lavan, the behavior of our justice minister today, Amir Ohana. Their concern that, you know, he's lifted a very, very sensitive gag order on the testimony given against Prime Minister Netanyahu, and it's taking away from the severity and the sensitivity of the case. And they've actually appealed to the Speaker of the Knesset, Yuli Edelstein, also a member of the Likud faction, for a temporary ethics committee to assess Amir Ohana's decision to lift this gag order. So things are getting pretty serious.
And just do we have any idea when the Attorney General may or may not indict Prime Minister Netanyahu? Is there a date involved at all?
Well, there's testimony being given at the moment. And one of the concerns is that, you know, making sensitive information public could impair this, as well as, you know, the issue of immunity for Netanyahu as we are, you know, we approach these negotiations. From Kahol V'Lavan's perspective, Netanyahu cannot, or they're not happy with the prospect of Netanyahu as prime minister or leading the coalition, because he has these possible charges against him. So we don't have a date from the Attorney General, but this is a very, very sensitive case, and for them to escalate it now to the Speaker of the Knesset, you know, speaks to the severity of this. We've also heard from other political parties who are very, very unhappy with Ohana's decision to lift the gag order, some of them saying that he has decided to be Justice Minister of the Prime Minister and not of Israel.
Ro, in the little time that is left, I want you to very quickly address the issue of Our Boys, an Israeli television series, which I happen to be in the middle of, which deals with a super sensitive issue of the three kidnapped Israeli boys and their revenge attack, all of which kind of was just happened before the Gaza war. What was your take on the series?
Okay, because I love it when you guys give me homework, I started to watch it last night.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, let me go into this with a very impartial mind, because I know what the Prime Minister had said about it. He actually called for boycotts.
Yes.
Of the stations that ran it. And I have to say that as an Israeli, as somebody who covered the events of the kidnapping and the subsequent murder of the three boys, Mifsatsu Keitan, one of the most difficult, possibly the most difficult day in my broadcasting career, and I've been broadcasting for over 20 years, shows you how old I am, was covering the funeral. I found it very, very difficult to watch because it didn't delve as much as it should have or could have into the kidnapping and the murder of these three boys. I think it's very important that it covered the revenge attack. We cannot countenance renegade terror attacks against our Arab citizens. It's absolutely untenable, but the series should have given more attention as well, or equal attention, to the murder of the three boys.
Oh, what a shame we've run out of time. I so badly would have liked to have discussed that with you. Maybe tomorrow we'll spend 30 seconds
started watching it last night. I couldn't get past the first 10 minutes.
Okay, I'm on. Okay, well, have we?
I interviewed Rachel Frankel. I told you this, huh?
Yes, you mentioned it yesterday.
Yeah. And one of the hardest interviews that I've ever had to do, because I lived through that. When you're reporting on it, and there was a new, do you remember 2014, Rodine? Like, it was just,
I remember it as clear as day. I remember very clearly having to report on that funeral, and I could barely keep it together on air. Also having to run to shelters every couple of minutes.
Yeah, it was just, it was the craziest time.